Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turning your Bibles, please, to Numbers 23. In verse 19, the Word of God says, God is not a man that he should lie. Remember something, guys. God is not a person. Yesterday on outreach, I talked to somebody and he said, people lie. I said, God says this. He said, well, people lie. I said, God is not people. God is God, man is man, and God is not a man. God is not a man that he should lie. He cannot lie. It is literally impossible for God to lie. The reason is because God determines the truth. He is the source of truth. And so whatever comes from God is truth, it is reality, because he is the source of truth and reality. God cannot lie because God is truth. Then it says, neither is he the son of man that he should change his mind. Then it says, has he said and will he not do it? Did he say it? He'll do it. Why? Because he can't lie. Has he spoken and will he not make it good? Will he not come through if he has said he would do something? Will it not take place? If God said it is so, is it not true? Is this not the reality of things as God has said? God is not a man that he should be able to lie. Men can lie, God cannot. So we can trust God absolutely because he cannot lie. God says what he means and he means what he says. God doesn't say anything and then just turn around and say, just kidding. God says exactly what he means, and he means exactly what he says. In John 17:17, his word is truth. So when you see something in the word of God, let's say God gives a promise, that's exactly what God means, and then it is exactly as God says. Because God means what he says. Remember that. God means what he says. If he says, pray and I'll answer you, in Matthew 7:7, yes, if you pray, God will do it. Why? He said it. And he meant it. He wasn't joking. He means what he says. He's serious. You have to understand that God is not like a person. People you never know with. A person says, I'm going to go to whatever tomorrow. And they may not. You figure they're planning to, if they're honest. Yeah, okay, you're planning to, but something can happen whereby you change your mind. It's not like that with God. There is no such thing as a tomorrow to God. Because God can see all of time simultaneously. He affects all of time at the same time. It's all present right now. And so to God, there is no tomorrow. There is no yesterday. There's only what you can call the eternal is, eternal now. So when God says it, it's not because he's planning to do something. It's because something has been done. It's because there is a reality that exists and God is telling you what that reality is. So when he says it, he means it. He's not joking. In Jeremiah 31:3, God says, I've loved you with an everlasting love. He means that. He's not joking. He's very serious when he said it. Think about it. There's this book that contains the Word of God. Imagine if you could put everything that you feel is important and that people need to know about you into a book. You're going to choose very carefully, very thoroughly what you're going to put in there. You're going to only put the things in there where you really mean it, because this represents who you are. And they can only know you on the basis of this book, which represents who you are. So you're going to choose very carefully. You're going to be very precise in the things that you put in there. God is like that. God is very precise in the things that He puts in the Bible. He chooses very carefully what He wants in there. And in Jeremiah 31:3, He said, I love you with an everlasting love. He means that. He's not joking. If you fail, He still loves you. If you have a good day, He loves you just as much, no more, no less, than when you fail. Your condition does not change the way God loves you. God loves you based on who He is, not based on anything about us. We get to receive that love, which is very good for us because that means it doesn't change toward us. He loves us all the time. He says it's an everlasting love. It's eternal. It never stops. It never changes. It's always the same. It's eternal. And then He says, with loving kindness, I've drawn you. If you make a mistake, if you fail, even if you sin, God is going to draw you back to Himself with loving kindness. He will show you that a life with Him is a far better thing than a life without Him. That being right with God is far better than not being right with God. That a life of faith is much better than a life of sin. And He will let you experience it if need be, but then He will draw you back with loving kindness. In Deuteronomy 31:6, it says, be strong and of good courage. Do not fear nor be afraid. Don't ever be afraid. Be strong and have a lot of courage. You never need to be afraid. Do you guys get this? You never need to be afraid. You might be afraid, but there's no need to. There's no good reason to be. Even if things look very difficult to you, even if it looks like you can get hurt, you still have no need to be afraid. Then He says, for the Lord your God, He is the one who goes with you. Why don't I need to be afraid? Because God lives inside of me. Who's bigger than God? What's the fear when God lives inside of me? What's the problem when God lives inside of me? What is it that you can't handle when God lives inside of you? What is it that's too much for you when God lives inside of you? What's overwhelming when God lives inside of you? God lives inside of you. What's scary? What causes anxiety? What is the problem? God lives inside of you. And then He says, He will not leave you and He will not forsake you. Well, if God lives inside of me and God will not leave and God will not forsake, in other words, God will not ignore the situation that I'm involved with, God will not ignore the problem, God will not ignore anything about me, He's not going away, He lives inside of me, what's the problem? Well, you got to understand the details. And the details are so big. Really? Did the details create the universe? Did the problem say, let there be light, and there was light? No, of course not. But the one who created the entire universe lives inside of you. What's the problem? There is no problem. There's wrong thinking, but there is no problem. Remember something, guys. Your experiences are based on your thinking. Everything that you experience in life is based in your thinking. You can have the same thing happen to two people. One says it's great, one says it's awful. Why? Different thinking. Same experience, outwardly, same situation, different thinking. And the different thinking changes their individual experience. It's how you think. If you think right, the experience will be right. God says, you don't have to be afraid. If I'm thinking to myself, God is inside of me, He's never going to leave me, He's never going to forsake me, He loves me, He's completely interested, He's completely involved, I don't really care what the problem is. People will say, do you know what's happening? Don't care. They're going to be freaking out on you. The house is on fire. Don't care. Well, then get out. You don't have anything to do today. You don't have any food. You don't have. Don't care. It'll be fine. Why? Because you have promises. God is inside of you. God says what He means, and He does what He says. What are you going to be afraid of? He's living in there. Does He know? Maybe God's not aware. What happened? He like took a nap? Is that what you think? God took a nap? No, don't ever be afraid of anything. No matter what things appear to be, don't be afraid of anything. God is living in you. And He has power over everything. In Psalm 37:25, the Word of God says, I have not seen the righteous forsaken. The righteous are not the ones who are, oh, just so good. The righteous are the ones who trust God. So if you trust God, He says, I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor His descendants begging for bread. You trust God, you're not going to be forsaken, you're not going to be begging for bread. You're always going to have what you need. The problem is, sometimes we tell ourselves we need something we don't need, but you notice we always have what we need. One way or another, it always is there. Even if you have absolutely nothing, then it's always there. I know a guy who was a missionary in Norway. This is years ago. And he had no money coming in because he couldn't work in Norway. He wasn't Norwegian. He had no money coming in. The people who were going to support him did not. He had no money and he had no food. He came home and his wife says, honey, there's no food in the fridge. We've eaten the last of it for dinner. In the morning, he gets up to go out, and behind his door, there are grocery bags full of groceries. And a note in the bag, a lady said, God told me to buy you some groceries. They didn't tell her about it. But God told her, buy them some groceries. They had what they needed. You always have what you need. With God, you will always have what you need. You may not have what you want, because what you want isn't always what you need. I want things the easy way. God says, you'll have what you need. It may not be the easy way, because sometimes the hard way develops things in us, but I'll always have what I need. I'll never have to worry about it. People say, I have no money. Do you have clothes? Did you eat today? Is there a roof over your head? Were you able to get to where you needed to go? Yes, but I couldn't do it the way I wanted. No, that's not what God promised. God said you're going to have what you need. You may not have it in the name of your convenience, in that manner, but you're going to have what you need. And it will be provided for you. It's amazing how faithful God is to do that. You will always have what you need. The Word of God says in Romans 6:23. Now, this is the other side of it. You see, we always think of God, yeah, He's great, He loves us, He takes care of us. Absolutely, He does. But then there's also things He warns us against. And He means it. That's the thing, He means it. It says there in Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. Sometimes people enter into sin. Why? Because they think sin's going to be more fun. They think there's some kind of pleasure in it, and there is pleasure in sin for a season. In other words, for a little while, you're going to enjoy it. But the end of it is death. You don't want to enter into sin. It may look good, it may feel good, it may seem fun or whatever. Don't do it, it's death. You know what's really interesting? Poison ivy. Poison ivy is actually a kind of a pretty plant. It's got these really nice little berries and stuff. It's kind of a neat looking plant. Now, if you go playing with poison ivy, you'll recognize it's not so nice. It's a really nasty plant, but it looks good. A lot of things are like that. They seem like they're going to be good. The outcome is devastating. The outcome is death. Sometimes people enter into sin thinking, oh, this is going, they have no idea what they are doing. The damage that they're doing to themselves is immense and very difficult to overturn. They don't always recognize that damage because the damage isn't found until later. But the wage of it is death. The wage of it is damage. The wage of it is something's going to be destroyed in that person's life and it's gone. You don't want to go there. You see, when God says the wages of sin is death, He means it. He didn't say it as a joke. He didn't say it because He said, oh, be good little boys and girls. No, He doesn't think like that. He's absolutely serious. The wages of sin is death. In Proverbs 4:27, He says, do not turn to the right and do not turn to the left. In other words, when you're walking with God, walk with Him precisely. Don't say, well, I have a general life with God. I can kind of do this and I can kind of do that. I can go here. I can do that. I can kind of do things my way as long as I have this general life with God. God says, no, you can't. That is self-deception. God's will is specific. Don't go to the right of it. Don't go to the left of it. Stay right in it. God's will is very specific. God's plan for your life is very specific. Now, the Word of God says in Ephesians 3:20 that He does go above everything you can ask or think. He's very serious about that. You stay in the will of God and God goes beyond anything you can even ask or think. But outside of His will, He says, don't do it. That's called sin. It's the wages of death is sin. You don't want to go outside of sin. You don't want to say to yourself, oh, I'll have a general life with God. I'll generally believe, but, you know, it doesn't help just to generally believe. It does you no good. The devil generally believes. Didn't do him any good. No, you get specific with God. When God says, I want this, He means it. When God says, this is what's good for you, He means it. He's not joking. When God says, I'll be kind to you, He means it. When God says, Eve and Adam, don't eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. He meant it. What was the result when they did? They ran away from God. That's when they started to die. And they did die. He meant it. No, they didn't die that day, but they did die and they've been dead for a long time. That didn't have to happen. But it did happen because God meant it when He said it. On the other hand, it says in Psalm 130 verse 4, there is forgiveness with God. He means it. That means if I turn away from sin, God will forgive me. Absolutely, God will forgive me. If I've sinned and I turn away from it and I tell Him about it in 1 John 1:9, God says, you know what? I will forgive it. And when He forgives it, He forgets it. When God says He forgives, He means it. He's not joking. And because God forgives, I can be forgiven. And if I'm forgiven, I don't have to think about the mistakes I've made. I don't have to think about sin. I don't have to worry about the effects of it. God says it's forgiven. So I'm free to forget it because in Hebrews 8:12, God forgets it. He means it. He's not joking. By the way, you never bring up mistakes. You never bring up people's failures or sins. Not your own, not anybody else's. Why? Because God removes them as far as the east is from the west. In other words, clear across the other side of the universe. So you can't bring it up. When He says not to, He means it. He's not joking. He means it. God says in Isaiah 43:4, you're precious in my eyes, and I love you. You know what? He means it. You are absolutely precious, extraordinarily valuable to God. He means it. He's not joking. He means it. You are tremendously valuable to God. You are so valuable that God decided to give up His life for you. The nice thing is, he was bigger than death. So even though Jesus died on the cross, he didn't stay dead. He meant it. You're precious in his eyes and he loves you and he means it. He's absolutely serious about it. There is no joke, there's no wavering, there's no changing of his mind in it. He said it, he means it. And it's like that with all of the Word of God. He said it, and he means it. You guys understand? Okay, that's it for today.